Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9 today, if you want to turn your Bibles there. If you're here for the first time, we've been going through the book of Matthew together, really since the beginning of the first of this year. And just a few more weeks we're going to be doing this, and then I think something very exciting is coming up. Several weeks ago, we asked you to just turn in topics, questions, you know, anything that you might be interested in that we could address from the pulpit. And you guys turned in some amazing things. In fact, we tried to go through them and you know, kind of put them all together into a few different topics. And so we'll be starting that here in the month of September. Very excited about that series, but I've also been very enthusiastic about this one as well. I really don't know how it worked for the New Testament writers, how they were led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, honestly, that is just something that I've never quite been able to wrap my head around. You know, we read last week how Matthew left his occupation as a tax collector to follow Jesus. We read that, not a long, detailed account at all. He just kind of simply says that he picked up and he followed Jesus, and that's about the extent of how he did it. But it must have been, you know, amazing how the Holy Spirit began to give Matthew recall of the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus said, as he wrote this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we know about Matthew is that his purpose in writing, and you can see this, it really builds it around these things, is to present Jesus as the King of the Jews. And so every gospel, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, all had basically a different purpose or theme in writing. And it's just intriguing to me how you can take the same story about Jesus' life and then put it into those four different perspectives, kind of with four different themes, and how it turns out the way it does. And we could be talking about that 2,000 years later. Amen. I mean, it's just intriguing to me how God has used his word historically, how he continues to use his word, and how it just enlightens us and blesses us even today. And so what we're going to look at today are three stories, and I've just kind of referred to it as a day in the life of Jesus, because to me, this would be just a typical, normal day in many respects to the way Jesus ministered for about 3.5 years. So if you're in Matthew chapter 9, let's start in verse 18. It says that while he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus rose and he followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I'll be well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly, I love that, instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put aside, he went in and he took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this, as you can imagine, went throughout all that district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe? Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." Their eyes were opened. And Jesus seemingly or sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." They went away and they spread his fame throughout all of that district. Now, those are just incredible stories, aren't they? And for a lot of people, that's all they are. They're just stories. I mean, things that happen in the average day of Jesus' life. But there are others who, when they studied the Bible, I mean, they look deeper. And I thought it would be interesting just to take a moment and at least kind of make note of some of those things, because Matthew was kind of writing to convince the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. A lot of people see within the stories that Matthew includes even deeper hidden truths. Like, for example, many see this girl who has died as a representative of the nation of Israel. We know that in the book of Lamentations, for example, Israel is referred to as a daughter. So some see kind of a similarity between the nation of Israel and how that they have rejected Jesus. But one day, the nation of Israel will receive Jesus when he comes and he sits on the throne of David for 1,000 years as he rules upon this earth. They will, in fact, rule with him. And a lot of people kind of see the similarity in that. The woman that Jesus heals is kind of seen as you and I, the generation that lives today in this age we often call the church, where God has blended together both Jews and Gentiles so that there's now one body of Christ, one church. And then as far as the blind men, a lot of people kind of see the similarity in how Jesus opened their eyes and how that one day he will open the eyes of the nation of Israel and how that they will recognize him. Those who rejected him at first will then receive him and acknowledge him as Messiah. So as I've often told you, you take that information that I just gave you and you take a $10 bill to Starbucks and they will give you a great cup of coffee with it, all right? I mean, that's just what it means. But I do think men and women that, you know, they're kind of two extremes as far as how we read and study the Bible. There are those who, as they say, can't see the forest for the trees. And so they refuse to dig deeper and to kind of discover some things that maybe God has hidden within the beauty of his stories in Scripture. And then there are others who can only see, you know, and don't see those deeper truths that, you know, God is revealing to us. And so I just wanted to take a moment and share that with you. And as you kind of study through the book of Matthew, you're going to kind of read more about that. You'll see kind of some of these things that I'm describing to you today, how God is really reaching out to the nation of Israel. Let me just say to you why that's important. If God forsakes his promises to Israel, we have no guarantee that God will not forsake the promises that he's made to us. And so it is important for God to fulfill the promises that he made to the nation of Israel so that we can be sure that God will fulfill the promises that he's made to us as well. Amen. That's why it matters. That's why it's important. And that's why we see what God is doing today. All right. I just want to take these three stories this morning and just want to kind of share with you some things that I've kind of gleaned out of those, practical things that I hope will help us today as well. And the first thing that I want to point out to you, and I see this in this very first story of this young girl who has died, is that it is impossible to put God in a box. And I say that because if you've been with us, you've been here on Sundays for a while, you'll remember that there was a very similar story to this one a few weeks ago. There was a Roman centurion who came to Jesus, and his servant was sick. He hadn't died yet, like the story I just read to you, but he was very sick, and no doubt the Roman centurion thought that he was going to die. And so you remember that when Jesus saw him and when he heard him, he went with him, or he at least was willing to go with him. And the servant said, "You don't need to come. It's unnecessary. You can speak the word, and it doesn't matter how much distance there is between us. I mean, at your word, my servant will be well." And of course, he was right, wasn't he? His servant was made well, and Jesus didn't have to go. But in this case, we notice that Jesus does go. And so it just kind of reminds us that, you know, when you read miraculous stories in the Bible, there's no magical formula. There's no abracadabra. There's nothing that God does every time, and the result of that always ends up with something like this. You can't put God in a box. Amen? And I think it's important for us to acknowledge that and recognize that no matter how hard I try, I cannot manipulate out of God a certain outcome that I'm hoping for. The best I can do is lay that request at His feet and pray that His will is done. And that's the best I can do. And I think for a lot of people, that's maybe one of the most frustrating things about being a Christian, because we kind of assume that if I do this and if I do that and if I do all these things that are exactly the way God says to, then I should expect the result that I've been looking for. And what you begin to realize is that God is not manipulated to do anything, because God is sovereign and God always acts out of His own sovereign will. And that's hard. That's really hard. That's difficult when you're laying that need before the Lord and you're trusting the Lord to do something about it. You're thinking that, you know, the preacher says, you know, I'm supposed to give 10% of my income. And if I give 10% of my income, that I'll be blessed. And so you've faithfully been giving 10% of your income and you haven't felt so blessed, right? And I think sometimes we just believe that, you know, if I do this and this, this is going to produce this kind of result. And it doesn't always work out that way. You know, another story to me that kind of, I think, highlights that is the story of Lazarus. You remember that Martha and her sister Mary had sent a note to Jesus, basically letting them know that Lazarus was sick. And the result of that was that Jesus didn't immediately go. I've used that story a lot during funeral services as just kind of a way to remind people that, you know, you can get frustrated. I mean, we often do. We get frustrated. I think Martha was frustrated when Jesus finally showed up because she let Him know about it. She said, Lord, if You'd been here, my brother would not have died. You feel that way sometimes? You know, Lord, if You had really done something, this didn't have to happen. And I think that's how, you know, you see, again, a different situation. Here Jesus is willing to go, but in the case of Lazarus, He's willing to let Lazarus die. Obviously, Jesus has a better plan because He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But Martha didn't know that. Martha wasn't aware of that. She was just in a position where she had to depend on God and she had to trust God. And I think that's where a lot of us find ourselves today. We're begging, we're pleading, we're asking, we're seeking, and it seems like no answer is coming. And it's not because we lack faith. It's just because God has chosen to do something differently. All right, so you can't put God in a box. I think that's the first thing we see. The second thing that I would point out to you is kind of in the second story, and that is that God is a multitasker. You know, I don't know, you know, how you would feel. I put myself kind of in the situation of this man. I've come to Jesus. My daughter has died. I know Jesus can do something about it, and I want to get back there as fast as I can. You know, I don't want any distractions. I don't want Him to be delayed in any way. And yet there's this woman who decides that if I can just touch the hem of His garment, then I can be healed. And if I'm this man, I'm like, we don't have time for that. You know, I'm sorry you got to, you know, I'm sorry you've been this way for 12 years, but man, we got to get there. We got to get there quick. But Jesus is such that He can multitask. It's not too difficult for Him to do both and to do both at the same time. Now, one of the other gospel writers, and I don't remember right now whether it was Mark or whether it was John or whether it was Luke, but in one of the other gospels' account of this story, I mean, they describe this woman as literally kind of moving through the crowd. This was one of those days when, you know, everybody wanted to be around Jesus, and everybody just wanted to kind of put their hands on Jesus. And so when Jesus acknowledged that this woman had touched Him, He actually said that. He said, somebody's touched me. And the disciples said, Lord, there are a lot of people touching You. You know, I mean, how do you want to identify this one person? Because Jesus said there's something different about this person's touch. She didn't come to Me the way others have come to Me. She's come to Me wanting something. She's coming to Me looking for something. She's coming to me for a need. And Jesus acknowledged that. In fact, he goes on to talk about how that, you know, strength had gone out of him. I'll be honest, I can't explain that to you. I don't know exactly what that means, but I know that her need impressed him to the point that he felt like some strength had gone out of him helping her. And it just kind of reminded me that right here in this room, you know, there are all kinds of needs. There are some of you in this room, you've had the best week. You know, it couldn't get any better than it got this week. It's just been wonderful. And there are others of you in this room right now that you're kind of weaving your way through the crowd. You're hoping to put your hand on Jesus because you need something. Amen? There's something. I'm looking for God to do something in my life today. There's something going on. I know that if God doesn't get in the middle of it, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I want you to know that he's aware of that. He knows that. And he can sift through all the other distractions and things that are going on. And he can multitask. And he can meet the need of the person sitting next to you while he can meet your need at the same time. Isn't it wonderful? He can be here today, and he can be in every assembly where people are gathered in his name today, even all around the world. When I was a boy, it wasn't considered take your kid to work day. You know, they have those kinds of things now. Take your kid to work. I think that was this past week. Take your kid to work day. Only way I got to go to work with my mother was if I was sick. And so she would take me to work with her because she didn't want to pay money to have somebody sit with me, right? So she'd take me to work with her. And I got to tell you, my mom, I mean, this was an incredible woman in her ability to multitask. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that she would go into, the owner of the company, she would go in those days, she would write, she would do some, what do you call that, where she would take notes and she would write out a letter. And she would take that little scribble that she was doing on that notepad, and then she would type it out in the form of a letter. She could do that with one hand, and with the other hand, she could be working an ad machine while at the same time having a phone literally in her ear talking to somebody about a quote. I mean, it was amazing to watch all the ways that she was able to do more than one thing at a time. I mean, when they talk about being able to walk and chew gum at the same time, I struggle with that. But she was a multitasker. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is because I got to thinking about that this past week. And in some ways, sometimes I literally get overwhelmed as a pastor with all the things that are going on in our church. And people, you know, you share your prayer request, and that always kind of gets sent out, and I get requests that don't go out. And so, you know, there's just a lot going on. I mean, quite honestly, there's a lot going on. And I struggle sometimes because I wonder, did I follow up with that person the way I should have? Did I reach out to let them know that, hey, I'm praying for you? Did I miss somebody this week? Because I don't want to miss anybody. If they need prayer and they need a word of encouragement, I don't want to be that for our church. But I know I fail at it miserably because it's impossible to keep up with all the needs just in a church like ours. But can you imagine God, who has all of that, who holds the world together by the word of his power, and yet with all of that, God is aware of every single need that we face, everything that we're going through, and there's not a single need in this building that God's not aware of and that he's not able to meet and that he's not able to provide for. So if you find your way like that today, that person just kind of trying to sift through all that's going on just so that you could touch the hem of his garment because there's a need in your life right now that you need God to get involved in, I want you to know he's aware of that. He is very well aware of that because he is a multitasker. Third thing that I want to point out to you here is this, and that is that God can turn mourning to laughter. If you were here last week, we kind of closed with that. That was a reminder to us. And so as Jesus finally gets to the home after having been interrupted, you'll notice that the scripture describes it as you could well imagine. Look, there's not a parent in this room. a grandparent in this room, that this is your worst nightmare. Your daughter, your little one has died. There's not a person in this room that doesn't affect, and that doesn't bother, and that doesn't trouble. And so you can imagine the scene when Jesus arrives there, and you have all of these people mourning. Now, that's one thing. I've been there. I've been to places where people are mourning the loss of a loved one, and I tell you, it can get tough. It can get tough. And you know when you walk in that room that people really don't want you to say anything, because whatever you say, they're not going to be happy with it. They're not going to be happy. There's no way that you can offer comfort to a family that just lost a daughter. There's no way. Your words only make them mad. So you know that. And yet that's the environment. And on top of that, in the first century, if you know anything about that culture, you know that they actually hired people to mourn over them when they died. That's what I'm going to have to do. I'll just be quite out honest with you. You know, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to start paying people. Hey, when I die, will you come, you know, cry over me? Because, you know, my poor wife, she's going to need somebody to comfort her. And if I have to put out a little money to make that happen, I'll do it. But seriously, that's the environment. That's what Jesus is walking into. Get it? He's walking into that environment where there's all of this mourning and unhappiness and sadness. And then Jesus makes the comment. He says, this girl's not dead. She's just asleep. And the scripture says they laughed. They laughed at it. But in Jesus' mind, it was no more difficult for him to raise this girl back to life than it was to just wake her out of sleep. It would be the same thing, the equivalent of the same thing. No more complicated than that. So he turns their mourning into laughter. I specifically love verse 26. I don't know if you picked up on it, but it says the report of this went through all that district. You know, the amazing and wonderful things that Jesus is doing, the word is getting out, the word is spreading. And I think that's what you see here in verse 26. What a reminder this is. I love verse 29 where he says, according to your faith, be it done to you. So that brings me to my last point, and that's this. I want to ask you this question this morning. What kind of world would we live in? What kind of world would you live in if it was up to your faith? If it was up to your faith. I'm challenged by that. I'll be honest with you. My faith sometimes seems so small when it comes to the challenges of life. And if God were to say, Rick, according to your faith, you know, be it done to you. I'm afraid sometimes my faith is so small, I would be selling short the opportunity and potential for something that significant that God could do. How great is our faith? How wonderful is our faith? So if the world depended on your faith, what kind of world would that be? According to your faith, be it unto you. Yeah, I was kind of, as I thought through this text today, and specifically this first story, I was challenged by this question. What would it take to get Jesus to go with me? You know, if the centurion could simply say to him, just say the word and my servant will live, and Jesus would do that, but in this case, Jesus would go with him, I often wonder, what would it take to get Jesus to go with me, to get Jesus to do something about this? And I'm reminded that the answer to that is very simple, and that's faith. It's just simple faith and trust that God can, that God will, and we just trust God for that. But you don't box him in a corner trying to manipulate some outcome that you think that you deserve. It's just merely, as we talked about a few weeks ago, it's just merely putting it in his hands and trusting him with the results and being able to give thanks either way. You know, Scripture says, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So as I wrap up this morning, I just really want to ask you, where do you find yourself? You know, these are three amazing stories. And in my mind, we can find ourselves one way or another. Are you, for example, are you the girl, the, the girl who's still dead in sins and trespasses. Now, every week, you know, we present the gospel and we give people opportunity to come and believe and receive and accept Christ as personal Savior. And people are doing that. We have people being saved, and man, it's exciting. But you may be one of those today in this room that, you know, for whatever reason, you've heard the gospel, you know, but you have ignored the important aspect of the gospel. And that is by faith, accepting what Jesus did at the cross as payment for your sin. So maybe you're that. Maybe you're like the girl today. You're dead and you need Christ to come and bring you back to life. Maybe you're like the woman in need today of some special touch. And so you're working your way through the crowd, hoping that in all of the chaos that you can present your need to Jesus. And that Jesus will hear you. And that he will respond to you. And that he will be there for you. Or maybe you're like the blind man. You know, all throughout Scripture, blindness is kind of equated with spiritual darkness or spiritual blindness. And when we talk about opening our eyes, we talk about being illumined. Look, there are things about the gospel that are so simple that, I mean, anyone ought to be able to understand it. And then there are things about the gospel that are so complex that it takes the Holy Spirit to enlighten us in. And really, that's true of the plan of salvation. As simple as it is to be saved today, there are so many people confused about it. And so we need God to open our eyes, don't we? We need God to illumine us, to be able to see and understand and receive Christ as our personal Savior. So I just ask you today, where do you fit in the stories? Which of these can you best identify with? And I think the last closing thought is this. What are you doing about it? Are you telling others what God has done for you today? Are you sharing the good news? You know, Jesus said to these guys, don't go sharing this. A lot of people, again, that's another thing. You look in Scripture and there are times he says, go tell everybody. And there are times he says, don't tell anybody. In this case, it may be that Jesus was looking out for them because the Pharisees would have more questions about it than they would have answers. And so, you know, maybe Jesus is just looking out for their benefit. But I guess if there was ever a time to disobey Jesus, this would be the time to do it. You know, to go and share and tell people the wonderful things that God has done in your life. We are blessed, amen? We are blessed. God has been so good to us, done so many wonderful things for us. We ought to share that, tell others what God has done for us. I know this, man, weren't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be up here this morning. What a blessing that is to know. What a privilege that is to know. I always, you know, enjoy, and last night was a good time for it, to just kind of sit down and listen to the Hall of Fame speeches. I always like that because these guys, you know, who once spiked footballs in the end zone with really a lot of pride and arrogance, have been seasoned a little bit, you know, by the things that have happened as they, like me, have gotten older and can't do all those things anymore. And God has humbled them and reminded them. And you hear them sharing their stories and specifically giving praise and honor and saying that the most important thing in life is having a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm telling you something, man, that's huge. Amen. That's huge. And I think that's the place that God wants us. So are we sharing that story, or are we telling others the good things, the wonderful things that God has done in our life? This is just an average day, man, in the life of Jesus. What I've read to you and talked to you about today, just a very typical day in the life of Jesus. Now, all the amazing and wonderful things that he can do, but it's different when he does it for you than when he does it for somebody else. It's great to read the story about what he did for somebody else, but man, it's powerful when he's done it for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all of your word and every story in the Scripture. And Father, we do. We acknowledge that there are truths within these truths that we have not yet explored. And there are things, God, that we may not know and understand until they are revealed to us in the day that you call us home. But Father, we're grateful. We're grateful because we can identify There's not a person in this room, Lord, hadn't lost a loved one and knows what it means to be able to cry out for help. Ask you to provide grace and comfort in time of loss. Father, there's people in this room, I suspect, right now who are just trying to work their way through all the noise, all the things that are going on. They're just trying to get to Jesus, believing that if I can just touch, I can just touch the hem of his garment, then I can be well. God, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, there things will change. And Father, I pray that you'd honor that today. That's a faith that maybe people don't know about. And I thank you, Lord, that in the process of raising this girl, that God, you dispersed the crowd and you took care of all that privately, because I know that there are times, Lord, when, you know, you work and it's visible and we all glorify you for it. And there are times, Lord, when it's just you and us. There are things that are going on in our lives, Lord, that nobody else knows about. In the privacy of this moment, I just pray, God, that you'd speak. There are things, Lord, I know I didn't talk about today. I know there are needs in this room that haven't been addressed. But I pray right now that your spirit, God, as you know each of us and you know all the things about us, you would take these words, these stories, God, you'd use them to minister to those needs today that maybe nobody else knows about. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring about us. And thank you for a group of people that we can share this together with. And I pray that today, as we now respond to what you've taught us and how you've led us, that God will do that faithfully. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message, and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.